Welcome to the Truman Charities Podcast. I am Jamie Truman, your host. Did you know that it costs $100 a month for diapers? $100. That's $1,200 a year. And that's just for diapers. Now imagine if you're a mom who can't nurse and also needs formula. One can of formula is $50. Now, depending on how old your baby is, you can go through 4 or 5 cans a month. Let's not forget about wipes and all the other baby essentials that you need. 1 in 3 families struggle to afford diapers. Lindsay Gill, a mother of 3 small children, learned about how many moms are struggling in the area and decided to create the Napkin Network that helps moms in need. I loved hearing all about our organization and what they are doing to help local moms. Now, if you know us and you know Truman Charities, we have 4 major events per year, but we also have Bethesda's Best Happy Hour once a month. And sometimes we add a charitable component to it. Now, this Bethesda's Best Happy Hour, that will be July 13th at Tommy Joe's in Bethesda from 5 to 8 p.m. We'll also be doing a diaper drive, and we will be accepting monetary donations as well for the Napkin Network. So I hope that everyone can come. Space is limited, so please, if you would like to RSVP and you're not on our list, you can email me at info@trumancharities.com, and I will make sure to register you. And I hope to see everyone July 13th, Tommy Joe's, to help benefit the Napkin Network. Now, I hope that you enjoyed this conversation with Lindsay as much as I did. Hi, Lindsay. How are you today?
I'm good. Good morning. Thank you.
Of course. I'm so excited that you're here. Before we get into your organization, I want to know a little bit about your background and why you decided to found the Napkin Network.
Okay. So I grew up in Annapolis, born and raised for the most of my life. I came to DC after I went to the University of Maryland. I am now a mom of 3 little kids, 6, 3, and 1. So that really is my job, right? Mom of 3. But right out of college, I actually worked at National Geographic. I was in TV production. To a lot of people, it seemed like a dream job. I mean, that's every time I said, oh, I work at National Geographic, people said, what a dream job. And it was almost like the more people said that to me, I realized that it wasn't a dream job for me. It just wasn't doing anything for me, like my heart. My heart wasn't in it. I almost didn't want to get promoted. So I just kept thinking, I'm in the wrong field if I don't want to get promoted. So I left like TV production, and I started looking at nonprofit jobs. Sort of long story short, I stumbled upon an organization called Luke's Wings, which was a military nonprofit that my now husband had started. So I went to an event. I thought, oh, this is cool. Like fun, nice people in DC. I love to volunteer. I met my husband that night. He's the founder. And a year later, we applied for a grant. Long story short, there was enough money in that grant to have a salary for one person. So I decided to leave my job and take that on. And so for 10 years, I grew Luke's Wings from a small volunteer only, literally Georgetown shaking cans, asking for donations outside the door, to about $1.5 million organization a year. Then COVID happened and I had 2 children, a third shortly thereafter. It just wasn't possible to keep that role and that position as executive director. So I stepped down and I was only home for a couple of weeks, really. And I, into COVID, and I was just seeing and hearing how many moms were struggling to afford or just really even put diapers on their children. It was in the news, just these sort of like terrible crisis situations. And I just thought, well, I have some diapers. I could do a diaper drive. I know enough moms through my children's school or, my neighborhood friends. And so I did basically a diaper drive for one of the diaper banks in our area. And honestly, my house was just filled. People were sending packages through Amazon. They were dropping off my dining room, my home office, my coat closet was just full of diapers. And so it really just sparked an idea in me that I had a lot of connections. That almost seemed too simple. Let me see what's here, what I can do to maybe make a difference in our community.
Yeah, so, I was reading on your website and 1 out of 3 families struggled to afford diapers, which you would have no idea.
Well, and I think the further you get along from having children, if you've never had a child, you don't even realize how expensive diapers are and how often you need them. I mean, I put a diaper on my baby an hour later, maybe he needs another one. And then you go to the store to buy a box of diapers and the price is just outrageous. And we have access to money. My husband has a good job. You know, finances aren't quote unquote an issue for us. And it's still a struggle for a family like ours. So I can only imagine, well, now I know, but you know, it was an eye-opening experience to how expensive diapers were.
You know, you're right when you say that, because we have a lot of similarities and I have two kids, 6 and 2, and I didn't realize how expensive diapers were and how often you needed them until you become a mother. And then you're like, oh my gosh. And not even that, you're talking wipes. And then, you know, gosh forbid you can't nurse or something like that. And so then right off the bat, you have formula and that's very expensive too. So there's all of these costs that occur every month that you just don't realize. And so I wanted to know, what are the statistics on the moms that are in need in this area?
Well, it's an interesting thing because we live in an area that you would sort of think of as being affluent or there's enough. And that I don't have this necessarily the statistics in this community, this exact neighborhood of who needs help. But I can tell you, I have more requests than I can fund or afford within the surrounding area. So I say the DMV area, that could be areas of Silver Spring, Anacostia, you know, even the outskirts, a little bit. I service Baltimore, Annapolis, because I have family members there. But every day my website is inundated with requests for help. In fact, so much so that I had to put a pause on the request for help for moms who weren't outside an area that I could actually like get to. If, you know, if I didn't have a drop-off area or a nonprofit partner for now, I had to pause requests because I was basically having to say no. And that was just crushing to me. So what I can tell you is that even if you are in a position where you have a job or you have a spouse, that doesn't change the dynamics that there's inflation, that there's just, you know, like you said, an increased amount of costs associated with being a mom. So maybe if we can offset the diaper costs, a mom can buy a meal that week. I don't necessarily provide food. I have a nonprofit food partner, but I can also tell you I get a lot of requests for meals and for food that night. So what I do instead is say, let me send you something else that you can have so that maybe you can save some of that money for a meal for your child. I did get a request the other day from a mom who said she just really needed a meal for the night for her and her 2-year-old son. And it didn't sit well with me that I was feeding my children. They had a full meal and hers did not. So it's just an example of how I reach out to my community. I asked my brother who lives nearby. He has 2 little girls. They dropped off like some applesauce, you know, juice boxes, just enough to get her through the night. So the need could literally be your neighbor. You don't even really know what the neighbor is going through. Just because you live in this neighborhood doesn't mean this person's not struggling. So it's just been a little bit of an eye-opening experience for most of them.
Oh, yeah. Talking to other founders of different organizations, it really has opened my eyes to, we would think that this area doesn't have a lot of need, but it really does have quite a lot of need in different areas of food insecurity and new moms with what you're doing and essentials for babies. Now, let's talk about, so you started this organization a few years ago, and that's really kind of when the formula shortage began. Let's talk a little bit about that because you've actually been featured in many local news spots about this actual particular issue.
Exactly. And not even local, national. I was on MSNBC and, you know, Washington Post, but then was picked up by some international, even international news outlets.
International.
But yeah, I think they were looking for an angle of how the U.S. had failed mothers. And I didn't necessarily want to go down that route, but I was happy to put a spotlight on the fact that this was a real issue. As I mentioned, I had a 3rd baby literally during the height of the formula shortage. And I'm a busy mom. For whatever reason, nursing wasn't the best choice for me and my family. So I had almost made that decision going into having him. I'm going to use formula. It wasn't necessarily a issue at the time. He was born in December. It was around March, April that it really started to become a true problem where the shelves were bare of formula. And not even to mention the moms who needed specialty formula, like my son's allergic to the very traditional formula. So the Napkin Network was started to help moms in need, meaning to me at the beginning, financial need. But here I am now a mom in need because even if I can afford to buy it, it's not there to buy. So there's another element of that. So I started hosting formula drives, really just tapping into the mom community. Every Friday for a couple months, we would just meet at a different coffee shop in our area, you know, outdoor patio space, bring whatever you have. It's a sample can. It didn't work for your child, whatever the reason is that you have it. Pediatricians were donating items. And then almost have like a line. Like, do you have Enfamil? Do you have Gentle Ease? Do you have Similac? Trading formulas. It was wild and it was real. And sometimes a mom was only getting formula because she came to one of our drives. So very scary. There was a father in my son's class. He's a congressman. I literally cornered him at a birthday party. I said, I need to talk to you. And he was able to help me move that conversation along a little bit, but it's still not fully resolved. I mean, if you go to the grocery stores, there's still a shortage. There are things there. They're behind lock and key. You kind of have to request it. It's limited quantities. I mean, it's an unimaginable situation that you can't find food for your baby.
I do remember when that happened. And at that point, I was still nursing my son, but I have a lot of moms with very young kids as well. And a lot of them were on formula and they were terrified. It was really scary because this is how you feed your baby. And I wanted to ask you your thoughts on why do you believe that there's been a shortage? And that is true. When I go into, say, CVS to go pick something up, it's not completely bare, but there still is a shortage of formula.
Yeah. So from what I kind of gathered over the past year or so, and I'm not an expert, so I don't want to say the wrong thing, but there's only a couple companies that make formula, basically. There's like four or five, like a handful. And so when one factory goes down, basically the formula was just tainted, for lack of a better word. So they couldn't use that formula that came from the factory. So that's where the problem originated. And okay, things like that happen. But then why did it take so long for it to get resolved? Like I said, it's still trickle down effect is happening. And I don't know why or how, but I just know that it wasn't front headline news for a very long time. I mean, the moms were talking about it amongst ourselves and in mom groups, but you go turn on the news and it wasn't front page news for a very long time. So it wasn't me, but I was really a vocal about it. And it did start to get picked up, like I said, the Washington Post, and then BBC America picked it up, and then MSNBC. So it literally took moms speaking out. It didn't come from like the formula people or administration. It really came from outrage from mothers saying, I can't feed my child. He can't have milk. Right. She can't have, you know, a sandwich. She needs formula.
Right. So, 3 months old. Yeah.
This is our only option. Yeah. And it was funny just to say, I did a couple interviews and it was just funny. And it is what it is. But some of the male interviewers would say, well, why don't you just breastfeed? Or they'd have sort of just like, that just showed me they didn't quite understand that maybe that wasn't an option. Or trust me, if we could, we would, whatever the thing is. So I think literally, really, it's moms who need to like speak up and say, this is a problem. We need help. We need a solution immediately.
Right. I mean, it's very true because even when I had my first son with my husband, they don't really know much until you explain it to them, right? About nursing. And sometimes you can, sometimes you can't, you know, it's not an option for a lot of people. So this is so necessary for this to be available to moms. And what I really love about what you have on your website is you kind of break down the donations. So for instance, you break down like what would $25 or $50 or $100 and say $25, I believe you said, gets a box of diapers or a can of formula. So how can people donate to you or help your organization get involved? And then how are your donations allocated within the Napkin Network?
Yeah, I broke down the cost because right now we do something pretty simple, which is basic baby essentials like formula, diapers, wipes, you know, basic things that have a cost associated with them. So when you say I have $25 to give, you can kind of rationalize that's about a box of diapers. $50 is about a can of formula, which is wild, but that's what it is. You need about 4 cans of formula a month, you know, so that's why it was like $100. And then it's also, we're all volunteer based. So, you know, the money goes back into our organization. We're very, very small. And right now the money is used for one of two things. One is to send items to moms who are outside of our area. It's not my first preference because once it's out of my hands, I'm not exactly sure what's happening. I want to be a little more hands-on. But if a mom says, I just can't find formula in my area, or I'm just a single mom and I'm on my second child and I have no support, like, can I please get a pack of diapers? You know, I want to have money to just say, of course, yes, like, let me help you out this week. And then the bigger project on the horizon in the DMV area, we're opening a small little pantry in our mall, the Montgomery Mall. And it's going to be a pantry, take what you need, leave what you have, and also a private area for moms to change, nurse, pump, whatever they need to do. outside of the food court. That's the only place that it exists right now. It's in a smaller space. And so I'm desiring funding to keep that going. The space is free. It's being donated by the Westfield Montgomery Mall. They're amazing, but there's going to be an upkeep for items, time to furnish it, to make it look nice. And then it will be an ongoing private area where you can drop off safely, you can pick up safely, and you can take care of your baby safely.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love that idea. And we live right next to the mall. So I'll definitely have to come and check it out and tell people that you're saying that you can drop off items too. So say I have like a box of diapers that I no longer have to use because my baby's sized up or whatever it is, you can do drop offs there.
That's right. We have 8 drop-off locations. If you go to our social media or website, there are 8 drop-off locations, you know, 2 or 3 in DC, 2 in Maryland, 2 in Virginia. My mom lives in Annapolis. My sister lives in Baltimore. So basically that general area. But right now my home is serving as the headquarters and storage facility. And I think this is going to be a much better option for myself personally, but also, like I said, a safe drop-off space for me to receive items, for moms to get them, you know, maybe just a little bit more central. There's buses there. You know, I live in residential suburban area, so not every mom can get here without transportation, which is a whole other issue we can talk about on the next podcast, but access to even getting to these items is critical. So having it more centrally located was a huge goal of mine.
And my husband, and he did this with the Rotary that he's a part of, and we've also done it with some of our happy hours, is that people can do a diaper drive themselves, collect it all, and then bring it to one of your locations, which we have done a few times, which works out really well. So, you know, if someone's having a happy hour or something like that, or a birthday party, instead of having a gift or having to do a $20 when they get to the door or something like that, bring a box of diapers, bring a box of wipes. Something like that has really been working out. So there's so many different ways that people can help you. And I love that. And I can't wait to see what you have going on at the Montgomery Mall. And how do you see Napkin Network in the future?
Well, I think like an interesting component that we didn't exactly touch on, but is important to me is the community. That's why I have the network in the name. So first off, Napkin, my maiden name is Kin. And just really quick backstory, my parents had me when they were quite young. They were freshman and in college. So I wanted to give tribute to just sort of my roots and where I came from, that I'm here now, but you know, we've lived this journey ourselves. My parents did. Then the network, because I wanted to create opportunities for moms to get together. It's a little bit lonely sometimes. Don't exactly know who to hang out with, what's fun, what's meaningful, like how do I spend my limited time? So I try to create events that are interesting, fun, great groups of people. Maybe you learn something, you know, but every time you come or you leave, you bring an item, a diaper, wipe, or a monetary donation. And then that goes back into the community to moms who need them, or now in the future might go to into our own pantry. So I just think the community of being a mother is so important. What I do in terms of diapers, wipes, that does exist already. I'm not trying to recreate the wheel. I just wanted to add that additional element of bringing moms together to help other moms in need. So I encourage everyone to just join, because there's great events and great, you know, speakers, and we have fun things to do. Get out of your house, bring your child, and have it matter and make a difference.
Well, tell me about one of the events that you've had that you really enjoyed.
So actually the first Friday of every month, we meet in Bethesda and we have coffee. I think that's a really nice way to just have it a standing opportunity to get together. You know, it's there. If you miss one before, then we can have one later. Then we do physical activities, right? Like a yoga class, a bar class. We've done a Mother's Day photo shoot. We do luncheons. We did things at night, like a shopping event, you know, maybe not the most, you know, stimulating, but you got out of your house and you had a glass of wine and it mattered. And then we raised a lot of money for moms in need. So there's a lot of variety across the board of events. It's almost, we have something at least weekly. Summer will be a little bit slow, but up until June, and then definitely again in September, lots of events and ways for moms to get involved in our community.
I do love that. It's a win-win. You have moms that are helping other moms, and then you're also getting moms out of the house. Because I know that I'm pretty much in sweats 90-some% of the time. So it is nice to go out and talk to other moms that can understand what you're going through in your life right now with little ones. You know, so I love all of these events. They sound amazing. And so you have all of that on your website.
Yes, it's on the website, but honestly, the best place is our Instagram page just because it's a little more in real time. But we post events. We post our calendar of events. We post ways we've helped. So just on Monday, I donated our entire inventory, our monthly inventory to, it's called the Family Place in Rockville. They came and picked everything up. So we did a little Q&A with them. It was posted there. It's really important for me to share where our donations are going. I think most moms are more than happy to give it and they don't really ask questions, but I love to share that, you know, like your little one and he outgrew his clothes and like, look where it went now. And that's so sweet. So I try to make sure I share that stuff as well. So I encourage everyone to follow our Instagram page. It's just a little bit more in real time.
And so what's your Instagram handle? What are the rest of your social media handles?
The Napkin Network on Instagram. And it's actually thenapkinnetwork.com. For our website.
All right, perfect. So before I let you go, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you think people should know?
I think just in general, you know, you never know what somebody's going through. I think that's a general system of belief we should all go by. You don't know what someone's going through, but if you have something extra that you're not giving, before you give it to the traditional sites like a Goodwill or even a family member maybe who doesn't exactly need it, consider giving it to us instead, because we've really vetted 4 or 5 at least nonprofit partners in the Washington, D.C. area, been operating for 35 years plus. They're deep in the community. They know how to get these items to the moms, to the babies. And if you give it to us, we can more guarantee that it's getting really into the hands of moms who need them. I'm not saying the traditional routes don't, but I really love this idea that it's free. And you don't have to buy it at Goodwill or whatever the thing is. You'll still get a tax donation. You'll give it to a nonprofit, but we're small. We're impactful. We could be nimble. If it's formula last year, maybe it's medicine this year. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a mom, so I'm in real time. I know what's going on. And I'm focused on my mission, but I'm also flexible because I'm going through it too. So I think we're a great option if someone wants to get involved and help a mom in our community.
I think it is. I mean, Lindsay, you're doing amazing and incredible things within the community. I love how you're helping moms in the area that are in need and then getting moms involved with helping moms in need and then helping those moms get out and help with their mental health or just being around and being out and about. So I want to thank you again, Lindsay, and I want to thank everybody else for tuning in to another episode of the Truman Charities Podcast. Until next time. If you liked this episode, please make sure to rate and review our podcast. That is how more people learn about the Truman Charities Podcast and our organization. And to make sure you don't miss any of our future episodes, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. If you'd like to follow Truman Charities, you can follow us on Facebook at Truman Charities, Instagram at Jamie_Truman Charities, and check out our website, TrumanCharities.com.